time for the Trackside Results Show on Blue Jay 96.3. The Trackside Results Show is brought to you by A&A Lock Service, your key authority, Central Wisconsin Vending, Hilltop Auto Wrecking, Central Sawdust of Wisconsin, Zilich Asphalt, the Monster Truck Nitro Tour, Zilich Customs High and Low Auto Show, and State Park Speedway. And now, here are your hosts, Kurt Keene and B. Ash.
Aftershock Bar and Grill, you're on Blue Jay 96.3. Great to see everyone out. Great to see racing this past weekend at some places that we haven't been able to be at. And we even seen a race car come to you, the Aftershock, right down Burick Ave.
Yeah, pretty awesome to see. Thank you, Race, for bringing the race car out. And
we're supposed to have a monster truck.
We talked about it. The Nitro Tour was going to have a monster truck here, but I couldn't get a hold of Phil in time to try to park it.
You're right.
So we had to cancel that one. But
we were going to just put that wheel right up on Race's car, you know. But, yeah. We want to thank the Monster Truck Nitro Show. They have a show Thursday at the Langway County Fair in Anago. And Dirt Kings are going to be there on Friday night. We're going to be racing at Wausau. And I actually was supposed to do the demo derby, but we get Deachin's Fest this weekend. Oops.
But guess what?
What?
We got tickets.
We got tickets. So if people want to go to the Monster Truck or the Dirt Kings, go support that to racetrack if you're not going to Toma or if you're not want to watch in Friday night
at the racetrack. So all the divisions there.
Yeah, we certainly want to thank them for coming on board. Get those tickets. Again, due to the Olympics, NASCAR is taking 2 weeks off, so people can relax, and we don't have to read about NASCAR, Dave, and other people that were upset. I don't know what happened yesterday. I was at Rich Bickle's wedding. That was a dandy.
That sounded like it was quite the time. Yeah,
I think it would have to be a 21-plus wedding.
It probably should have been if it wasn't. But
it was.
Definitely.
So they're going to take a break for 2 weeks and catch your breath and back at Richmond. Sunday, August 11th, because, again, the Olympics coming up. You enjoy the Olympics? I don't mind the Summer Olympics.
I do like the Winter Olympics better than the Summer Olympics, but I do enjoy the Olympics, yes.
So, again, if you can't join us on Saturday night at State Park Studio, I think it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Oh, and breaking news, you know who's coming on the 24th to State Park?
Yeah, like everybody and their brother and their sister are sharing it. Yeah, Mark Martin has officially announced that he will be signing autographs and be a part of the Phil Bickley 55 race on August 24th. So Mark will be here. Pretty neat that Mark Martin will be at State Park Speedway.
Yeah, we'll get to interview him. That would be cool. So, again, that is coming up on August 24th. But if you can't make it Saturday night, you can listen. Probably go on, right, with qualifying with the super late models. Because racing starts at 6 on Saturday night. So, again, our coverage, we're going to have the Larry Deachin's Memorial right here on Blue Jay 96.3 for the Dunright Exteriors Deachin's Memorial. So that should be a great event. If people are coming, you might want a carpool because there's going to be – Phil was already talking about parking the haulers and, I mean, just race cars and different drivers that haven't been there. But I think around the state, I mean, it was great to see, by the way, I know we were at Marshfield – the Jerry Eckert race packed at Jefferson. So I think we're going to have one of those deals. So you might want to get there early, or if you're camping, you better get your thing in.
Yeah, you do have to. If you're camping, you got to register online at stateparkspeedway.com. So make sure to get those in because they got to get them parked and everything else too. But, yeah, really looking forward to it. I think the Big 8 race should be pretty decent. There's a few of the limited or pro late model guys that normally run at some of the other tracks, especially now that they've been running more at Plover that are kind of in the area.
And I think you're going to get a couple more, maybe like the 66. And, you know, I hope that we get a good turnout for that. It always has been a really good Friday night. I remember years ago when there was like 35, 40, Neil was won that year. Now this area, we kind of do more have more pro late models. But for a little bit, it's kind of numbers. I mean, you know, you could say, oh, the entry list, this and that. Don't go by an entry list if that's going to decide where you're going to go.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Sorry, Key. That's not your fault. But races, we'll ask him. He had no intentions to go to Jefferson. He's got a super late. I don't know who put the list on, but I don't get into the list. It doesn't matter to me. I've been to a lot of places like, if you know, you know. If you follow their face racing page, you'll know that they're racing. So everyone updates everyone.
Yeah, and Friday night should be pretty good. We have all of our normal classes as well, with the exception of the pure stocks. So the mini mods, mini stocks will all be there. And then we got Bandoleros and Legends. So, I mean, it's
going to be full night. Hey, Beast.
Yeah, going to be pretty crazy. So then Bandoleros are back on Saturday with the pure stocks, mini mods, mini stocks.
So and pure stocks are off on Friday night.
Pier stacks are off Friday night, and then Legends are added just Friday.
Well, that's a good deal, though. I mean, I think Phil said he had maybe 25 Legends that he thinks he has on his sheet, so that's a pretty good deal.
Should be pretty good. Yeah, we can go by Phil's entry list.
Yeah, he's on top of it. He's been doing homework today. That's what he said. So
yeah, it's been pretty
good.
Someone
did something. He is a man. Yeah. But one of Wass's very own was going to join us tonight, but he's going to join us next Monday at Charlie's. Luke Fenhouse, he finished seventh in Ty Majeski, Wisconsin. They won over at IRP. I know Uncle Dave was there from Central Wisconsin Vending.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
So, yeah, he does work part-time or farming or Matt Schultz. So I got a hold of him last night. He's like, hey, we got another show coming up. Hey, Mark's here. Yeah, whoa.
Dave, it was really good to see that you got home safe. You got back to Pit Stop on time.
He didn't go straight home. He checked in. But, again, we certainly want to thank Pit Stop. That's where we were this year. So that should be another great event coming up this Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Again, wherever you're going, if you're going to race at Toma, if you're going to Dirt Kings, or if you want to go to Monster Truck, they got a thrill show, or you want to get out and support wherever you can in central Wisconsin. We're almost into August. You know, wow.
Yeah, it's right there around the corner. It's just flying by and absolutely crazy. But, yeah, looking at some of the stuff that we did get in for racing action, we were at Golden Sand Speedway on Friday night, and Ty Fredrickson was able to pick up the win in the Tundra Super Late Models. Again, good car count for them, good racing overall. Worked out with Ty Fredrickson, Brock Heinrich, and John Beal, the top three, but really some good racing throughout the pack, and excellent to see the Tundra again. Now, they'll be back at Golden Sands for Labor Day, so that'll be
a little bit of time off. Well. Yep. So
really a good show there for the Tundra, and then also great to see the Pro Late Models were there as well. So there was a lot of late models in the pits, and Brayson Bennett was able to pick up the Pro Late.
He used the same car in both that night.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So racers that want to race find a way to race, and Brayson's like, "Well, I'm right there with Tundra. I
just had to move the schedule around, and, you know, get the car out there," and he just kind of held his own. I don't know. After the first, you know, winning the feature, if he, you know, maybe the car got hot or it didn't cool back down. But tough field at Golden Sands. Good racing. Didn't really have many hiccups. A couple motors, though.
Yeah, unfortunate there. But, a lot of cleanup that had to take place in that situation. We had Frank Nitzke and then Wyatt Brooks both losing theirs in the Tundra race. Tough luck there. But, really a good field of prolates as well. Modifieds were down a little bit, but Brett Wachowiak, was it, right?
Yeah, Wachowiak, something like that.
He ended up winning again. He won the first open mod race there as well. Bo Benish ended up getting the pure stock win. They actually were calm, cool, and collected for the most part, so that was really good to see. Then Carl Jeanette spanked him in the six-cylinder class, so driving the Rasmussen six-cylinder car. So overall, though, really well-run show.
Yeah, I think we were done with fireworks. 10:05, I believe.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show.
May have even been before that.
Yeah, kept it rolling, and really great stuff. So again, Golden Sands
is off
for a bit. Yeah, we
are worried about the weather this weekend too. So just keep going, right?
Yeah. Yep. So Golden Sands ended up their next run is on August 9th. It's the super late models are back, so a bit of a break there. And then over at Marshfield, we had our super late models back, and Ty Fredrickson got the feature win there. Travis Volm was close to running him down there for that second spot, but Ty had a real great lead, and I think he was saving
a lot
of stuff.
Can I ask you a question? Can you explain something for me?
Yeah.
Okay, you're the race director. That's a job that no one wants to do. I think Tucker Miller would probably he's got thick skin, or maybe Mr. Key.
Yeah.
But you have a driver's meeting, right? Most time drivers go to it, maybe some pit guys. What was said in the driver's meeting? Now I've been, you know, this line, and people are there was a call at three wide. How's that state at Marshfield? I think it's at Plover, too, in the driver's meeting. If you go three wide, right, it doesn't matter if you bump a guy, right?
Right. So the situation, first we'll start at Plover then, since we brought that in,
okay.
So Plover is three wides available if you want it inside, middle, or top. Wherever you want to go, you can go three wide. But if a caution happens, the whole line, all three cars are going. So even if the top two cars make contact,
so one guy don't back up, or you're
all
there.
The whole line is going to the back.
Okay. Anytime in a, so if a caution were to come out and your three cars are there,
those three cars
back.
Are going no matter if there's contact or not.
And now if there is contact, is that different then?
No. Golden Sands is one. If there's normally probably going to be a contact for somebody to spin, but not all three cars need to make contact. But now Marshville, in our super late models, it's been a little different. So super late model three wide, if you go inside or middle and a caution happens, you are disqualified from the event.
Right.
So that happened last year with Mark Eswine. It happened a few years back with, I think, Monty Gress was on the end of one of them. So that's always been the rule. We always talk about it in every driver's meeting. It's right in the rule book. So the one car that was the three wide did not make contact, but was called for.
You got everything explained and all that. So
exactly.
No, it's just, I mean, I wouldn't have known that either. I mean, back in the day, Eugene could stick the car outside three wide, kind of like
up
Corey Jankowski.
Wall,
so, okay, so that's clear that up. So, Ty Fredrickson won, and then Super Stocks, we had Brian Weinfurter.
Yeah, so the Jim Cormack had fast time. Jim Cormack won the heat, but then Brian won the feature. Extreme Fours was a great race. Mike Heidman and Anna Maloff were back and forth for a while there in the last five laps, and Anna was able to pick up the feature win, so it was pretty awesome for Anna Maloff.
And right there, Mike Heidman, he's got a fast car.
Yeah.
He's probably up for the running for Sportsman of the Year. That was a really good thing where he's good. He's won a lot. I'm not saying he gave it to her. He made her work for it. Maybe let off the, you know, slipped up a little bit. But right there, you got to give him kudos for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so then we had our Bandits. Nick Kurth ended up picking up the feature in that one. So a great run and great to have
First
Nick.
Time ever there.
First time ever at Marshall.
New car.
Yep. And was able to make it work.
Nice.
Carl Jeanette picked up a legend feature once again. And Brandon Langert got his first ever feature win in the six-shooter class in the three. So congratulations to all those drivers. And again, Brandon Langert, the same car that burst into flames a few weeks ago. So
Well, maybe that's what
crazy.
It was. Just burn it down and
burn it down and rebuild it.
Whatever he had to do. But yet Marshfield will be off. This Saturday, right?
Yep, and then we're back on August 3rd. It's the kids' night. So face painting, petting zoo, CWRA, and then Dairyland Vintage is going to be having a big show now as well. So
I want to talk about Wednesday night. We went over, Matt Record and I and some other folks, Key was there. We went over to La Crosse Fairground Speedway. They had the fair. It was so weird going there, not during Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
They had rides. Wayne wanted to go on the Tilt-A-Whirl. Matt and Hat wanted to go on the Scrambler. I never know if they did, but they had food trucks, and they had a race in honor of Tom Reffner, and that was actually what we did on Friday with the Tundra, and they had the CWRA. They raced on the
quarter mile.
And it seemed like it was going to be not such a fun event, and the first couple practices, I think, well, I talked to Mark how it all went, but really good night. Paul Payne won, swept him. Mark had a couple third-place finishes. And Ty Majeski was all him in the both features, the 44. So there was a good turnout, packed house, fair food. You can't go wrong. Go racing in a fair, right?
No, it was a good show. You know, and I ended up staying home. I wanted kind of a night off, but I did end up purchasing the pay-per-view, so I was able to.
You couldn't stay away.
Keep an eye on that. No, but I mean, yeah, really a great job by everybody in that and. It was neat to see CWRA cars on the quarter mile.
It was different.
I will say that. And
I don't know if
the
consensus was good, but we never know.
Now that they did the repave, if that would have been before the repave, everybody would have been bottoming out and up the hill. But it was, really, really quite interesting. Jeff Weinfurter was one of the drivers who did take some damage out of that, but talked to him on Saturday as well. He said it was more cosmetic than anything. So
yeah, we're going to take a time out. You're listening to Trackside Live from Aftershock Bar and Grill on Blue Jay 96.3. Welcome back to Trackside Live here on Blue Jay 96.3, live from Aftershock Bar and Grill on a Monday night. Always great to come down here and neighborhood bar. If you're just on the west side of Wausau, Marathon Electric, it's on Leonard Street. They got fish fries. They got one of our favorite events of the year. They do the Easter egg hunt. That's for adults on Easter. But our favorite event, you know, the amateurs go out on New Year's Eve. The adults go out on New Year's Day.
Oh, is that
and
how it works? Okay.
We do bingo here.
Yes.
And it's a fun bingo. After Mark calls bingo, I call bingo. You could even call bingo.
I could. I could also play.
Well, then someone has to play your cards. You're more than welcome to come for that. But Aftershock open 7 days a week right here on Leonard Street. So
good stuff.
Thanks to Sharon. They actually had a golf outing with the Tavern League today. And she's like, oh, it was on this date. And I'm like, well, we'll make it work. So
yeah.
And you even got Tony here. Tony, you ordered them chicken wing.
Tony's making it.
Yeah, he's not listening.
Yeah, he was there for Noon Optimist.
Yeah, he was on the bike ride. He was the guy, get away from the gate. You can't stand by the gate.
Exactly.
But
it's a good segue that we were just talking about, right? The Wednesday night CWRA type stuff that went on at Lacrosse.
Seems like we've done this a time or two for 13 years, huh? We're getting better at it.
Building segues. Finally, it works out well. But it's good to have him back here. Aftershock, a great supporter for many years. It's Mark Mackesy joining us. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Hey, the hauler made it back from Lacrosse. What did you think of the quarter mile? I think the consensus, maybe not so much, but I thought it was better than what I thought it was going to be.
I'd have rather been on the big track for sure. But it
worked
out. You
didn't seem too happy after qualifying. You looked like you were not in a good state of mind.
Well, we put a spring rubber in the left rear to give it more drive, and it gave it more drive, but then it didn't turn at all. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, put the group qualifying.
Yeah, cars spinning out, so you couldn't get a good run.
Right, yeah. And I wasn't happy with our qualifying lap. That hurt us in the points. You know, we were, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and to come out there with a good night, two features, 30. You started on the front roll, and I'm like, wow. Yeah, you took the green flag, and, you know, Jeff, he struggled. I know he did. But you had a nice lead, and then a couple laps, Big L spins out. Come on, Big Lair. my buddy Mark here, I got Greg McCarnson. He's like, nice shirt, you know, very nice shirt. I'm cheering for that 12 guy, you know. And then he's, you know, it spun out, and caution came out. Paul Payne had a fast car. You ended up taking the outside. Like Eric said, you were like the stock market. You were up, down. You faded back to about fifth and got back up to third place. And, you know, I think if you had another 10 laps, you might have had something in the second feature, if the 31 could have gave the 27 one back, right? Yeah. You were kind of hoping for that.
Yeah, well, the 31 got into the 27, but then spun himself out.
Right.
Yeah. So, there was some talk of maybe him going to the back as well, but he didn't cause the accident.
Right.
The 27 didn't. The 31 did. So the 31 had to go to the back.
And then it turned out for good points for you, right?
Because we gained one on Corey. But we were getting close to the 7. You know, I think before that caution came out, I was working him, and he was getting up the track, especially in 3 and 4. He was blowing it down in there and giving the bottom up. We could actually hug the bottom pretty good by those tires.
Yeah, I don't know. I talked to Tim, his dad. He says, I might have to go to confession because, you know, he had the bleep app. He said a word over the mic. But I don't know what he was mad about sandbagging. I didn't understand that one.
Yeah, I don't know either, because he started on the pole the second one, and then I was thinking that Marsh really started on the pole, and he started on the pole at the Dells for one of the races. So I didn't quite understand it, but maybe the 27, you know.
No, maybe.
Because the 27, actually, in some of our features, was turning 14 zeros.
So it wasn't ones. Anything. We don't know who he was referring that to.
No.
I thought it was you. I'm like, I'm going to go talk to him. Good thing I wasn't drinking those $8 beers or $6 beers or Twisted Teas. I probably would have said something.
No, well, the 27 started in the second row in that first feature, so that was, you know, interesting all on its own. But he's been running really strong. I mean,
he's one of those drivers that has so much experience throughout the years, and, you know, great to see him still running in a series he can afford. He can have fun, and is that what makes part of the CWRA just so much fun? Is you got some of these older drivers that are still out there just having a good time, but you still have some younger folks that are kind of checking things out. Is that one of the things you enjoy about CWRA?
For sure, you know, and one of them is that we don't have to have, you know, a practice set, another practice set. We got one set of, you can have a practice set if you want, I suppose, but right. A lot of us, what you got is what you run all night long. You unload it and you go and work from there. You don't pick up any speed by putting another practice set on. So that's one of the nice things. It's a laid back environment. You know, you get there, you unload. You know, I went and picked out a tire. I don't know how many other tire guys bought tires, but you know, you pick the tire out and whatever else and mount it up where you don't have to have, you know, a bunch of tires. And you could probably get by with two or three pit guys, where with the big guys, you know, right. I looked over by Ty's group there, and there must have been, gosh, there must have been 12 people hanging around over there. I don't know what all of them did, but
everyone's got a role, right?
Yeah, well, even, you know, like Natalie was over by her husband there, and she's working the camera, following everybody around.
You don't have one of those V-logs or nothing?
No, I wouldn't know how to work something like that. Can you imagine me trying to work that?
No.
It would get smashed.
You have a hard time figuring out the roll call or whatever, with trying to click back and forth or get the TV, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's
so frustrating. I'm not good with technology either. But, you know, that's a... You know, Wednesday, obviously, you had probably take off vacation, but you guys stayed over Thursday night and just made a event out of it. It seemed like it was kind of fun thing that you could do. And I know you've done camping and go to different tracks, but something different. I think that was what was fun about Wednesday.
Well, it's a laid-back environment. When we were done, the hotel that we were at, a lot of the people stayed there. Keith Boomsock was there. Greg McCarns was there. We didn't get a chance to talk to them at all, you know, but and then the next day we went with Robin and Lurch. We went over and Conrad over to the fair and saw some pigs and horses and ate some bad food, had a few beers, you know, had a corn dog, some spuds.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's always good to have a little bit of a break. And you hit on it, I think it was in the first feature interview, just how special it was to race in Tom's memory. So talk a little bit about how Tom, how you kind of grew up watching him and what he meant to you in your racing career.
Well, when I started, my first recollections or memories of racing were always of my dad, but then Tom Reffiner with the Javelin. And Dad's car was a red Camaro. Tom had the blue Javelin. And then Tom and his gang would come by my dad's bar out in Mosinee on their way home from the races, you know. So then I just took to him after that, and he was always really good to me. And, you know, we just hit it off from there. And, you know, just all the information that he'd help me with, he'd call him up. He always had some knowledge about something. So it was always... It was pretty neat to be a part of the program. Baird sent me a picture last night of all of us on the stand there with Baird and Brian and Dee Dee and then the three drivers from the podium finish. So that was pretty neat. And to have his name over our heads was pretty sharp, you know, because he was the blue knight. You had the white knight, and then you had the black knight. And I always wanted to be the red knight. So I thought red, white, and blue, I would have fit right in.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You were a little too young.
Yeah, you know, but I would always think about it. I'd be the red knight, you know, and I just thought that would be pretty special.
And that night at WASA, it was great when you won that, you broke his record. He was there that night. That was a cool night for you because one of your heroes, like you said on Wednesday night, how much he meant to you.
Yeah, for sure. And he was there, and he even said that he was okay with it that I beat him because, you know, racers are competitive and they don't like to get beat all the time, or at least by certain people. And
that Mackesy guy again.
Yeah, and he was okay with it. So I thought, well, if he give me the good graces that I could move into second place all time, then I guess it's okay.
And you know what? You guys talked a lot up until his passing in the last couple of years. So it wasn't like, you know, you guys knew from 20, 30 years ago, you guys are still in contact and talk about old racing stories and how to do things, maybe try this or do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd text him... you know, what do you think about running, you know, back when we had the split tread width, what do you think about running 65 or 66? You know, I got to put 25 pounds on, you know, stuff like that. Or what do you think for gear ratio at this place or that place? And then he'd tell me, you know, well, we used to run like at West Salem on the big track, you know, we used to run 512s over there and, you know, this and that and shocks, stuff like that. You know, he stayed up with it for the most part. He was, you know, still pretty sharp on a lot of that stuff. And I could always go to him. He was a historian, you know. Hey, what about this guy, Terry Bivens from Missouri? I mean, how was he to race with? You know, then he'll give you a story about
Bivens.
It. You know, or...
You can't make it up.
No, I mean, he raced a Nova from down there. But a lot of the guys that didn't come up here, I didn't get to see or, you know, and I could ask him about it. Hey, what'd you think of this guy or that guy? You know, and he'd, you know, he'd write me back a story of some sort about that guy or whatever.
Awesome. Well, Mark, we're going to keep you around before we were going to come back. We got to pay some bills. We'll talk about a couple more things because you got a busy upcoming week. Again, we're at the Aftershock Bar and Grill. You're listening to Trackside Live on Blue Jay 96.3. Live from the Aftershock Bar and Grill here in Wausau. Sharon's here, Rick, and we got the Hayes crew. They sponsored the 02. They sponsored the 12. So, again, they've been on board with racing for a long time, and we certainly enjoy coming to a place and filling it out. Certainly want to thank the staff of the Kim's BS Sauce with the barbecue and the wings. Tony's enjoying some wings, getting pictures taken back there.
Yeah, there he is.
So, yeah, a busy week coming up, an important week. Margo's here tonight, obviously. We got the Larry Deachins Memorial, again, presented by our great friends over at Dunright Exteriors. Mark, you got racing Friday night over at Toma. Saturday, you're going to give a run for, try to get the fourth at State Park Speedway?
Yeah, if everything goes good on Friday night, you know, it would be, the last time we were down there at Toma, we got tore up pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I stayed up till about 5, me and Dave Gwitt, but then Conrad and Nick Grish, they stayed up all night until about 9 or 10, so we could race that Saturday at Wausau. So if something happens, I imagine we'll do the same thing.
Well,
let's
hope not, right?
Yeah, you know, I'll try to be.
Well, that's a thing.
You never know. You never know if a implement tire is going to roll down the track or something, you know.
Yeah.
It does happen. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff this year. You got sponsors that you want to thank? Obviously, you talked about some of those crew guys. They're not on, like, you don't have this big payroll or anything. And not everyone's getting paid good money to work on the car. Right?
I try to keep them fed, and I try to keep them full of beer.
Yeah. With that group, you know, it can get expensive.
Well, Wednesday night we ran out of beer, so.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, the only thing that was left, I think, was a couple cans of Miller maybe in the bottom. And it might not even been that.
I think
they were all beat up. Cans that, and they might have been expired.
I think there's some twisted teas or something. Whatever was thrown in the cooler, right? Throw it in.
Yeah, right. But yeah, whatever you can round up.
All I know is it looked like a flood over by the front of your radiator. I don't know if you had radiator issues or what.
Yeah. Well, you know, we used to drink my dad's. We'd run out of beer when we were kids, you know, in high school. We would take my dad's beer can collection and then open up some of those beers.
Boy.
Yeah.
How did that Bobber's not here tonight? I'm sure he never found out about it, huh?
We just blame Wayne.
Wayne got it?
Always. We always had a fallback. Wayne was the fall guy.
Oh, boy.
It's Wayne's fault. This got broken. Wayne must have done it.
He's not here to defend him. So.
No. Well, I don't know if he knows, but, you know. Hey, who smashed all them, you know, this or that model?
Did he have a nice collection, too, and you guys dug into it?
He still has a very nice collection. Oh, yeah, it's huge.
He would have a collection worth money, but you guys ran out of beer, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Billy Beer.
I thought he owned a bar, didn't you? Couldn't you just go sneak beer out of the bar?
Well, we weren't old enough then. I was only, you know, about 7 years old when he owned the bar.
Okay.
But some of the stuff got left over from the bar, got brought to Mom and Dad's in Rib Mountain, and then we tackled some of that when I was in high school.
That was always a good time at the Macassi Ranch when Albert would show up for dinner. Didn't he put one guy in his place one time that was from this village or something?
Yeah, the town constable showed up, and Wayne had, I think, some kind of obscene picture on the back of his car with the running wiener.
Mm-hmm, that's his nickname.
Yeah, and it was a running hot dog, and I don't know, took offense to it because it was right next to the schoolyard.
Right.
So when he came to the door and opened up the door to look in, there's Big Albert.
Oh, boy.
Albert just gave him the stare, and then he was, you know, a whole lot nicer.
But you guys would have people come over for dinner, right? The Box would come over and...
Well, if Jim Box stopped over, it was a sleepover.
Okay.
Yeah, he was probably one of the few guys he'd have an adult sleepover with. And I was even telling the guys how he'd lay on the floor. He had have a pillow behind his head, a pillow behind his knees, a pillow in his lumbar region. And he'd be all sacked out on the floor because of all the wrecks that he had. He couldn't sleep in a bed. He had to sleep on the floor.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Good stories you could tell for days. You got some sponsors. Todd Schoenfeld wants to say hi. I'm picking him up from the airport Wednesday. He's coming up for Deachins. So.
That should be awesome. That should be a good time.
He's listening right now on the Blue Jay app, so which you can do.
Beautiful.
Tell us some of your sponsors. And a lot of longtime sponsors. I like when one day I was over and the guy from Northwest Tools was like, hey, I suppose I should probably put a check in the car. You didn't even have to ask the guy. The guy just, your neighbor stops by and he writes you a check.
That's I told Matt, I said, you're on the car forever until you tell me to take it off.
Yep.
So, and I always told Myram that, too, that, you know, he was always permanently on the car. Even if he couldn't afford it, he'd just be on the car. One guy that I always, and I don't always forget him.
It happens.
I forgot him at lacrosse, and he would travel all the way down to lacrosse, is Keith from A&A Lock. Just a super sponsor.
You're ashamed. Yeah. Well, he's mad at Race. He was on the entry list at Jefferson. He went down there, and the old dude didn't show up. Race is like, I don't understand. So you get two shames.
Yeah.
Give him a shame, Key.
No show Race, I'll be done.
I should have told you he was there, but that's...
I knew he was going, for sure, because I just saw him earlier in the week. I dicked him and Gary had. Gary used to sponsor me back in the day.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I only got to read off three or four there.
They only gave you a little bit of time, yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to get out of there because I didn't want to hold up the big show because Tommy White was kind of like,
yep,
we should get rolling.
I've been a part of that program at lacrosse. You got to go. There's only one question, and if you tell a story, you're going to get shamed.
Well, then Ray sat there. He kept trying to open up my bottle of water, and Ray's got to be in his 80s. Yep. He was old when I was a kid.
The hat guy, the victory lane.
Yeah, Ray Locken. I remember when his son raced.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean.
You know, Jay, that's right, folks. We'd have got them pork chops on a stick.
We watched
them. Still growing.
We watched them grill up a lot of pork chops there on Thursday. I think that the guys cooking the food were done before the pork chops, though.
Yeah, I think they're a bunch of volunteers. So.
They were having a couple cocktails. Yeah, it was lunchtime.
It was lunchtime. Any other sponsors? You got a list?
You betcha. Lurch was here tonight. I got to thank him for putting up with us, picking on him all the time. And he takes it very well. Dale Will, I see his daughters here tonight. Hogan Farms, who they had a really good week. We had a decent run. And then Casey won down at Jefferson. Yeah. Joe Raider Towing. Joe, great guy. Aftershock Bar, this place here. Just picked up Zilich Asphalt. Northwest Tool, Wausau Cyclones, Pizza Ranch, Richard's Restaurant, Pepe from Appliance Service, Rib Mountain Marine, Elite Snow Removal. I don't see Kim here tonight, but Kim Bob's Cafe, Westside Auto. Of course, we can't forget Jerry Wicks.
Wigner. You get shame.
Right? And Pathfinder.
There you go. All those sponsors. And Mark, you're going to try... For your fourth Larry Deachins Memorial, to try to set the record. I know the car, it's getting better every week, right? You're feeling more comfortable with
it. Yeah, we're getting closer. I mean, it's just, you know, like we go to Wausau. At the end of last year, we were probably 0.3 seconds off, and then we pick up a 10th here and a 10th there. But, boy, when you get into that window where you're a 10th or a 10th and a half off, now you're happy with a 0.5 tenth.
Yep.
You know, it's that tight. And I know that people bang on the practice part, but it's like, well, I need to go back and practice some more. They repaved some of the parts of the track, and I'm struggling through 3 and 4, where you go from the new pavement.
Brock and the 02, Race Hayes, have really found something different than what it was, where those guys on the bottom before, they could cut down and get me more concrete down there. It's changed a whole bunch.
When they lapped me the other week, they were way up there. So I watched those guys go by, and I thought, geez, it almost looked like they were running on a berm, almost like a Corey Jankowski groove. They were up there so far. But it also allows you to free the car up a little bit up there. But they were making it. They were launching them cars off that corner. It was
you might have to get some speed secrets from Race or whatever, and then I think Race gave up to Brock the secrets.
That's very possible because boy, Brock's been hooked up on that top side.
Whatever works. Well, best of luck. I hope one of the locals wins. That's for sure. I know there's a big dogs coming, like Ty Majeski. So, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
How about it for Mark McAsee, everyone? He's going to look for his fourth ever Larry Deachins Memorial. We'll get another guest that if when Mark comes back up. We still do. We want to pay some bills yet? Yeah, we'll pay some bills and we'll bring you back some more guests. We're at the Aftershock Bar and Grill here in Wausau. You're listening to Trackside Live on Blue Jay 96.3. Again, here it's always a good week. For me, I get a little bit of time off here with the busy schedule. Obviously, we've had some rainouts and stuff, so that kind of, you know, hits the old pocketbook a little bit. But unfortunately, yeah, we got some racing this weekend, and there was so much going on. And, you know, you got over to La Crosse. I know we had Marshfield, and we've had some rainouts a couple weeks. I know I really wanted to go to that race over at Jefferson, but unfortunately, we got to be at other racetracks. And this is just a great week. Look forward to, I'd say, the kickoff to the Deachins weekend, where, you know, Margot and Mark are great friends. Just knowing how much it means to a lot of people coming from wherever. I mean, I got friends from Jefferson. I got friends from Madison. I'm picking up Todd from the airport on Wednesday from Florida, you know, and just people come for that event. And it's great. And it's, you know, Ernie used to come from Canada. And we just met so many people. And they got raffle baskets, you know, for the Coke Fail. It's just a fun week. And weather looks to be perfect, BH.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I think, looks a little bit warmer maybe on Saturday. But overall, yeah, really looking.
We've been there when there's about 3 inches of rain before qualifying, pumping.
We don't need
that. We've had it all, pretty much. We've even had some cold ones, too, in end of July. So, yeah, a lot going on. Like you said, Thursday, you could go to the Monster Truck. We want to thank our friends over there. Go over there and get on the Monster Truck Nitro Show Thursday. Friday, we got tickets. We got tickets for the Dirt Kings Friday. I'm so bummed out because last year it was a week later, the Dirt Kings, and now it was this week at Deachins. And I'm like, because I told Jason Schultz, I said, oh. He's like, yeah, are you coming over? I said, well, what day? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, that isn't going to work. So fortunately, we got tickets. So if you're just driving around wherever you are in the world, in the area, we got tickets for that. We got a lot of giveaways. We got hats from Zulish Asphalt. And we certainly can't thank our great sponsors. We got Kim's BS Sauce. I know Rick and Sharon threw some stuff on over there. Again, Mr. Key, A&A Lock Service, Central Wisconsin Vending. Dave brought some stuff, too. And he had a nice trip over to IRP, that would have been a fun one to go to. I've been there before. I watched Scott Wimmer. He led a whole bunch of laps when he drove for Dale Jr. It's a cool track. Central Sawdust of Wisconsin. Jay will have a car with Levon running. He's been running pretty good, huh, Biash?
Yeah, very good. He's had some excellent finishes over at West Salem, had some second places, and then at Madison. And, yeah, really been really good for Levon.
Yeah, I think they just had their meeting. The Monster Truck Nitro Show and Zellige Custom High and Low Auto Show. Again, NASCAR is off for 2 weeks because of the Olympics, but you can listen to our broadcast if you're not coming. Oh, and you don't have to pay live streaming service, which they do a great job. You can listen to it right on Blue Jay 96.3. Right there on the BJ, 96.3. So, Tucker Miller,
hello,
where did you go this week?
I was at Jefferson on Saturday for the Orange Blossom 61.
Give us a full report, like Uncle David said.
Well,
it seemed like a pretty good night for you.
Yeah,
guys.
It was good. What a turnout they had down there. Oh my goodness.
Jerry's hauler. And you're a car guy. Kind of talk about that hauler. If it's an iconic, it's like two trucks.
Yeah, it's Chevy, like,
I've been in it.
One ton chassis.
And he brings everything put together. Since he's been racing for 50 since 1976. Gary Schmelzer sent me all his stats, so I got them to Jess Reiner, and they made all that
stuff. Yeah, that was on all the trophies, too.
Yes.
All the stats and the plaques.
Yes.
That turned out amazing.
But Gary sent it to me. I think he sent it singly to people. I think Greg McCarns was helping out with that show, and I'm like, well, we got to do something with it, and I got it last Monday. So Jerry Eckert is a well-known racer that has raced a long time. Great man. He actually presented Margot for the Larry Deachins at the Southeast Hall of Fame. So they had this nice race. Jerry's still racing two nights a week.
82, correct?
Yep, 82. Yep. Two nights a week. Still competitive.
Oh, absolutely. He just won a semi a couple weeks ago.
Teeter semi.
Yeah.
And they had a race. So they, if you didn't know, most people, if you're listening, they don't run super late models. They run pro late models. So, and you know, the Midwest Tour comes to town, Tundra sometimes, but they don't usually have it. But they've called it the Orange Blossom Special. And The place was packed.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Hopefully they didn't have the flea market the next day. I'm sure there was cars parked in the wrong spots. Yeah, I've been a part of that right before, Todd.
Yeah, that's a mess when they got the flea market in the morning. I know a couple times, you know, waking up there
sights
in the middle of the parking lot
sights
in your vehicle.
Or your van. Or your van when you get saran wrapped in there and go for breakfast. But
That didn't happen.
So you went there to help Gabe Summers, right?
Yep. Been doing tires for him all year. I'm working in the shop a couple days a week with him, too. It was good. You know, really quick program, one-day show, two
practices. I like that
two
trophy with the stopwatch. How did they get the
neat. So it was for fast time. So we got fast time, and then they had a big wooden stopwatch, you know, about 2.5 feet tall, all painted up nice, but it had nothing on it. And then they had all the lettering on hand, and they put the actual lap time on the stopwatch and the lap number.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was pretty neat. I mean, really the most personalized type of trophy you could give.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, that was really
giving
neat.
That one away anytime soon.
Yeah, it was $1,500 for fast time.
That's good.
That's a heck of a bonus. I mean, the place was packed. They had, I believe there was, 28?
Terry's probably still counting his money.
28, something like that.
J-Track.
Great field of trucks, too. And then two-segment deal, you know, and then combined points at the end. And
came short one
point? Yeah, we were 1 point short. We
Lurch is happy because Casey Johnson won.
Look at Lurchy Poo. Yeah, Casey
smiling.
Won the first one. We finished fourth in the first one, and then we won the second one, and Casey was
third.
Big
third
time.
It was.
They didn't tear many cars up, did they? The trucks were there. They had 23 trucks.
Trucks. Wow.
It seemed like we were at Marshfield, and I was watching our race, and I'm like, it seemed like it was yellow for like four laps.
It
must have been tore some stuff up.
Yeah, it's strange. There's sometimes they'll get a truck race that goes green all the way through.
I've been to one. Yeah. I announced it and went flag to flag.
Yeah.
And I've been to ones that, she could be a rough one.
It was rough, and they were like big wrecks too. I know Chester Ace's truck got destroyed.
I like people when they go on the Facebook and they're mad. They're like, "There's only 23 trucks."
What a show!
What do you want?
Well, I know. I'm just like,
you
look
want
at
62 cars?
Like Wausau last week.
I
want to
be done in
there?
About 3 hours. I don't want to be for 7 hours.
How many cars do we have at Wausau last week for supers?
8.
I mean, what a dandy of a race.
It was a great.
I mean, it
you
is
were helping
incredible.
Brock.
Yeah, I was spotting for Brock Heinrich last Thursday.
Yes, you guys were at Hodig.
Yep.
And it was a great race.
Wow,
I mean,
what a fantastic
race. The people that were there, whatever you want to say, the photo, this and that.
That's all over. But I mean, it was just an amazing
show. None of
them
were mad at each other. It's like, okay, he won, whatever. They figured it out. And it's kind of like, why are we going? And I think you weren't on the show last week. It's like, why are you turning Brad Miller versus Andrew Morrissey? Brad and Andrew Morrissey don't have any beef with it. But people are like, oh, yeah, that rich kid, you know, daddy's money. And Andrew Morrissey, he's a bad man.
That guy works a lot. He does.
He
works
one of the
so
best.
Hard.
Remember that year at Wausau? He ripped up the whole front end.
And won the race. Tour race
there
with
was
the whole
no,
front end. I don't even know how he could see.
There was no cautions in that one.
No.
So the guy knows what he's talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
And both of them, at the end of the day, be congratulated and happy for him. And so,
absolutely.
But, you know, it's just a different world of racing, like when your dad raced and, you know, the friendships. I mean, it's business. Bottom line, it come down to it.
Yeah, it's gotten so competitive over the last years. Like, I mean, just like Mark said, you look at the field of super late models, it's a half a tenth, you know, sometimes between, like a Wausau, between the whole field sometimes. I mean, it's crazy.
And you raced last year for Tate. You plan on racing at all this year?
Well, I want to do the Phil's 55 race. That is.
You're getting in a legend?
No, for the Super.
Okay.
For the Super. Yeah. That is the plan, to drive Tate's car for the
Mark
Phil's
Martin
55
race. I bet you Tate will end up firing you and put Mark Martin in it. He probably knows Mark Martin personally.
I would be honored to be part of a deal like that. That'd be awesome. Hey, me and him are about the same size. He'd fit the seat just fine.
Right.
He would be fine. So you do plan on racing a couple races?
Just that one.
Okay.
I'd like to do that one. So we'll see.
You got a Mr. Key's looking at
like
you.
To.
He's like,
"Oh, well, of course, I know Mr. Key.
Mr. Key,
I know that for sure."
How did you ever meet Mr. Key? Just from
it was just being at the racetrack. Yeah,
he was a supporter of your dad, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's known my dad for
time. I think there's a couple drivers Mr. Key might not like, but I don't ever see him not dislike a race car driver. But I know that.
You are correct.
I don't know. Politically correct, I guess I would say. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know.
No, I mean, Mr. Key has helped me in any kind of racing. He even helped me when I went road racing, when I did that Road America stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anti-lock service on the quarter panels of the thing at Road America for 16 hours for that race, you know?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
I just feel like I just was in part of the most exhaustive tennis match in the entire world.
Where was this?
Right here with you guys. So I want to hear a little bit, Tucker. So kind of expound here. Like talk a little bit more about what your expectations are now coming into a big race for the Gabe Summers Racing.
Yeah. Yep.
On Saturday, you've been working with the team, and what do you guys expect out of Saturday?
Well, as we know that we ran a flip race. We had fast time, so we don't, we had good speed, but the racing, you gotta be able to run both lanes now. You have to. So, that's what we gotta work on, to be better. Last year, we were really fast. Had an incident late in the race, which changed things. But the track, the track is different this year versus last year. It is.
Yeah. Very much so.
So yeah, that's what we gotta work on. That's what we're gonna focus on. Is just trying to make it so that we can run both lanes and still have good speed. Because like we've seen this year, that man, the top lane, you make up so much time in 3 and 4. Race and Brock have been they fly around the top of 3 and 4. So and they gain so much time there.
So what has that been from your perspective, being the tire guy? Is it a tire thing that is causing the outside to be more there, or is it something with the repave? What's kind of playing into it?
Definitely, I'm going to say 90% the repave. I would say 90%. This tire, from what I've seen, is it acts more like the 1070. The rubber does. It just seems to. It seems like they'll make good speed for a little while. Then they fall off. But then, it seems like you can take a car that's running, let's say, a 14.0 and a car that's running a 14.3. Let's say they qualify there. Well, at the end of the race, they're both running 14.5.
Right.
It seems like that tire will only go so fast the hotter it gets, in my opinion.
Okay.
So it seems like when you want to do all, your passing and a lot, you try and do it early if you can.
But you got to
I don't know. That's the difference I've seen. The thing don't wear. It don't wear nothing like the 30, 35, 30, 45.
Yeah.
They definitely last longer.
Yeah.
They repeat better for practice, which is good because you ain't got to buy so many stinking practice tires.
Right.
That's for sure.
Well, I think everyone's in that same ballpark. And I know guys that, said, well, we had this set of tires and then, we did this. And I think Storm would attest to that where it's like, you don't know where you're at. But by the way, just want to let people know on Blue Jay 96.3, there was a storm in the Merrill area, knocked us off the lines for a little bit. So again, it went north of us, so we're appreciative of that. But that's where we're out of a Merrill station. So again, if you maybe had some internet, or if you're listening on a stream, that caused us to get knocked off air. And I don't know who we were talking to at the time. Probably it was Mark. No. It never sounded better. Yeah, send that one up for an award. But no, racing's fun. You've been doing it a long time. I think we all enjoy it. We all are proud of the drivers, of the history of the racetracks. And, it's just been a fun thing. The other day, honoring Tom was a neat thing, and Father Gruba talking about how he had fast time 81 times in a year, one season. 67 features, and it was like,
crazy.
Whoa, and I'm sure it costs money, right? I mean,
absolutely.
They made money, though. Everyone had a good career, and we had so many good people. We stopped by the Dick Trickle Memorial Project every time we go to lacrosse just to stop by, and it just been around so many good people in racing, and whatever avenue, if you're helping someone or pitting for someone or working for a different outfit, it's just it's fun. What else would you be doing if you didn't do racing, Tucker?
I honestly don't know. I mean,
I see you've been doing some golf, though.
Yeah.
Do you wear those fancy hats?
Yeah, I got the shorts. Believe it or not, and I never wear shorts. Everybody here that knows me knows. I never wear shorts, ever. For whatever reason, when I golf, I got these white plaid shorts.
Boy. Nice.
And a pink collared shirt. And, I went golfing a few weeks ago, and then Went golfing again on Friday. And,
you any good?
I don't. No. No. Which is funny. I used to play a lot, actually, in high school.
I can.
And I was all right. Now,
there's no way.
I don't know. I was terrible. I'm not good. No. Yeah, I can hit the stinking thing, but.
Well, if you got those golf shirts, make sure you wear those built-in spandex then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got that. They're actually golf shorts.
Okay.
I got them at the.
At the golf store.
No. Oh, goodness. No, I ain't paying that kind of money for that. It was at the. Like Plato's Closet or something.
Oh.
Yeah, secondhand store.
There you go.
Someone else's shorts.
Yeah.
Well, Tucker, you'll be helping anyone out this weekend? Or what's your plan? Are you helping Brock again since you
No, I'll be with him? I'll be with Gabe. Yep. He's, it's my commitment for this year is I'm with Gabe. So, got a lot of racing to do. Done a lot of racing already. Holy moly.
Yeah. All over.
Yeah. Yeah, really,
And how's the engine business? Everything's
been good. Been really, really busy. Really, really busy.
And people don't know Tucker Miller Motorsports. He builds engines. Tucker, talk about your motor, your motor shop, and also parts for racing. You get some good deals.
Yeah,
for
So I, got my small engine business too, and it's just me, just one guy. Obviously, I'm real busy.
One man band.
Yeah, basically, and. So, yeah, I've got a few soup plate engines out there. A lot of dirt engines lately. Interesting. Okay. Actually, got a sprint car engine, a bunch of, street stock, pure stock, dirt stuff. And then I sell race parts, too. And deliver to anybody in the Wausau and neighboring area. Deliver the stuff right to your door.
Yeah, didn't you end up doing a motor for some guy that played for, the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, yeah. That one went to Texas. So I don't remember his name anymore. You know me. I'm not that big in
football. You're not. Well, you kind of follow.
There was a hot rod shop in Texas that, it was – building trucks and stuff, and they had me
motors too? Or
yeah, there's a couple drag boat engines, all inboard stuff.
Wow, you're doing it all.
A little bit of everything.
Dabbling a little here, dabbling a little there,
it's
right?
It's fun. I enjoy it.
What else? Yeah, it's fun.
I enjoy it. But if it wasn't for the racing stuff, I really don't know what I'd be doing as well.
Mark still thinks you're the best guy that can text and drive at the same time, but we're not encouraging that.
Man, that was years ago. I remember that. Oh, goodness. We would
up to Norway.
That hauler. Oh, the hauler stories.
The hauler.
Are the best.
Yeah, there's
stories.
Remember when it started on fire?
It started on fire. Yeah, and we were dumping
water. One time there was a thunderstorm, and the camper almost got knocked over. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that one.
Up
at the fairgrounds. Yep.
That's not exactly the truth to that story, but we're not going to go any deeper into that one.
Yeah.
You still want me to do that? All right.
We're going up to Norway, though, and the spare tire rod come out of the thing, and it was hanging out in the oncoming traffic.
There's a lot of good stories. But the time me, you, and Bart, we went up there, we found out they didn't serve beer there, so we went and got a cooler, and we had the craziest photo mullet or whatever contest. I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
The picture contest. MR had to drive us home.
Yeah, we had to pick the best mullet in the grandstands.
Yeah, it was a dandy as well.
I miss going there. I haven't been there in a while, quite a couple years, and I miss going there.
Blue Jay, 96.3. Okay, we're going to have to take a break. All right, we'll take a break. We're listening to Trackside Live on Blue Jay 96.3.
Blue Jay 96.3 is W242CZ Merrill and WJMT Merrill.
Yeah. And we're back just like that. I've never been able to do one of those. I just thought I was going to be like that play, boom, like the mic drop. You hit our call letters. So.
Well, you got to pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Station identification. Yeah, I've listened to a lot of radio, and I like to do that, so. Yeah, I know. We said that 10 seconds, I'll cue you, and then it all went through. So, hey, we can pay some bills, Steve. We're going to bring a guest next up, Bill Holland, if you want to come on up. We don't need it. We'll just keep going. Hey, our next show is going to be this coming Saturday night for the Dunright Exteriors Larry Deachin's Memorial. Again, we'll be going on air around qualifying, 5:30, I think. Actually, Lurch, I don't know.
It's moved up a bit, I think, and they qualify first, I think.
We should see if Kristen from Knock Point would like to sing on Saturday if they're not singing. I don't know. Their schedule's pretty busy, so I don't really have anyone to sign up to sing. So, but this next guest is a historian, and great to have him. He's been working for the Racing Roundup show and making travel over to the Milwaukee area, but he's from our neck of the woods. Mr. Bill Holland, Bill, I know this is a big weekend. You would look forward to it every Every year, the Larry Deachins Memorial means a lot to you.
It really does. I've had the good fortune of being at every Deachins Memorial race since 1993, so I still feel bad about missing the first decade plus, but it's a night I don't want to miss.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Again, it's going to be, I think, a pretty stout field. It seems like the Midwest Tour has been able to put out some very competitive races behind the 91. We'll see what can happen this one. But there's a lot of drivers that I think are looking forward to it because it seems like State Park can be kind of the ultimate evening bar where it might have some locals that have a really good chance against some of those touring cars.
Well, history and recent history has proven that. Brock Heinrich winning the biggest race of his career last year. Jonathan Island coming over from Minnesota. I don't know if Jonathan is racing this year, but he is very good at State Park. Ty Majeski, you mentioned, he's a past winner. Justin Mondyke's won it. Gabe Summers has won it. Casey Johnson has won it.
Yep.
Again, I haven't seen an entry list, but there are a lot of drivers.
Anyone know if Derek Krause is going to be? Because if NASCAR's off for the next 2 weeks, has anyone known about that BS? Or?
I have not heard.
Me either.
Is, no.
That was a name he's won.
He's a past winner, right?
I was thinking when you're saying all these winners, maybe I hope he does.
There are a lot of drivers who really think they have a shot.
Derek is. Okay. And Luke Fenhouse, he'll be there. I mean, look at that group. I mean, it's I don't know who you'd pick. I really don't. And I'm not trying to say it because, you know, that's the right thing to say. But, man, that is a good field.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You don't want a prohibitive favorite. You want a lot of cars and drivers whose fans think, hey, our guy's got a shot. And, you know, I know Luke wants this one badly. For everything he's won at a young age in super late model racing, the Deachins is.
I think Uncle Dave wants it more. I would think.
Yeah.
Uncle Dave wants it more. He's been around racing a long time. You know, he's a young kid, but you know, we've said it a few times on the radio show this season. I actually texted Luke today and or last night, and he got back to me. It's pretty neat that we watched him take a seventh place finish and. The opportunities he's getting with the trucks, and it's proud of anyone. I mean, I even talked to Natalie Decker on Wednesday, and I said, you know, Natalie and Parker Retzloff, I mean, all that Bandolero, if we had that field every week, you know, we wouldn't be seeing, you know, what we were going through. And then you add Brock and Justin and Mark and Weinkoff. So, I mean, we got some dang good racers. And I asked Natalie, she says she's not doing as much, you know, racing. And, you know, she's a pretty girl, right? So she's going to get a lot of flack. And I said, how do you handle, like, just rude comments? I mean, like, just nasty. I've known their family. Well, you know, they've been friends of ours for a long time. I've worked for Mr. Decker. You've worked for Mr. Decker up there.
Yep.
And these people just so rude and nasty. And you're only there because you're pretty. And you're only, you know, and Kenny's talked about it. And I said, you know, she's like, it is so good to just come back here with my husband. And race. She's already 27. I'm like, where did the time go? But, you know, the things that people write is just crude. You've been in the news world, and it makes you upset. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do with social media garbage is just ignore it. But you mentioned Natalie Decker. She's at La Crosse on Wednesday with her husband, Derek Lemke, who I had never met before, but I've talked with his dad a few times, John Lemke, former ArtGo racer, and a pretty cool guy. And it was neat to see Derek, he and Natalie now live in North Carolina, make the haul up to La Crosse to race on a Wednesday night in a car from Florida.
And he's supposed to come up on for Deachins, too.
Oh, that'd be neat to see.
That would be, so... That's a pretty cool deal. And, Bill, it's been a busy year for you. Talk about the enjoyment you've had so much this year, just getting out, seeing different places, going to different tracks, kind of picking and choosing where you can go, where you put your show on with the Racing Roundup show in the groove session.
Yeah, there's not a lot of picking and choosing. Every year I say I'm going to cut back, and every year I shoot between 40 and 50 race nights. But I really love the opportunity Jim Trado has given me with Racing Roundup to show a nice long highlight segment every week This week, we're looking at showing highlights from the Tom Reffner 88 Classic at La Crosse. CWRA and the Super Lates on the big track. Interesting drivers, interesting event. And I hope it continues. I hope that's an event that keeps going.
Yeah, that's something that I think, you know, really came out of that. You know, and again, people talk about car counts, whatever else. It's a Wednesday. You know, it's tough for people to kind of make their decisions and stuff. But, yeah, being able to race there in Tom's memory is always a great thing. And building off of it's going to be exciting. What was your take on, like, CWRA seeing them on the quarter mile? What was your take there?
Mixed thoughts on that. I thought it was an interesting race. Frankly, car count matters.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough cars, you're not going to put a small field on a 5/8 mile track. It's just not a good look. Frankly, I was astonished that for two features that paid over $8,000 each to win, that there weren't more cars. I was stunned.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think, you know, and does that relate to a Wednesday deal? Does that relate to just not having enough help for some drivers? We don't know, maybe, right? You probably haven't heard, or have you heard from anybody that has said anything?
I think it relates to the times that we're in.
Yeah.
There are a lot of contributing factors. You hit on a couple of them. These days, if you have a field of 20-plus, that, I think, you've got to look at as a full field.
Right.
You were talking with Tucker Miller earlier, one of my favorite people in racing, by the way, and he mentioned 23 trucks in Jefferson, and somebody thought that was low?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What decade are these people
right.
in?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a lot of things, though. You see, like, you know, oh, the list and this and that. But, yeah, I mean, I said earlier I went to Bickle's wedding, and Zimmy used to help Rich Bickle out a lot. He was his marketing guy. And he kind of helped out with the truck series. And Zimmy's good at selling stuff. But you got to give it to Drew Kreebach, a guy that has been with John Wood for a long time. Yeah, Jerry stood up in the wedding yesterday. But talk about, you know, the count and the drivers. I mean, you got drivers from 15 to 50 or 70. I mean, if you go to Jerry. But it is a good series. I love it. I love the truck series.
I really enjoy it also, and you know what I hear from drivers, whether they're young drivers or veteran drivers, is one of the real strengths of that series is tech.
Yep.
It's strict, and drivers say it's fair. Now, I'm not an expert when it comes to tech. I'm the last guy you're going to hand a wrench and say,
"Me and you,
hey, we say, hey, get under the hood of that."
Maybe we will start making go faster directors.
Yeah. But drivers who know their stuff tell me that the tech in the truck series is strict and it's fair. And you don't see guys in that series for a year and then getting out.
Right. They stay. And, yeah, I mean, even to the point of, you know, pulling a motor and, you know, taking it to be tested and all this fun. I mean, they really do a great job with it. And that's, you know, been awesome to see. So, I mean, that's, you know, looking now into this weekend, we talked about some of the racing. I mean, Big 8's back on Friday. Have you been able to cover any Big 8 yet this year?
You know, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've been to a Big 8 event, and I like Big 8.
Have you
really
went to Cedar Rapids or whatever? No, you didn't go to that one.
I did not go to Iowa.
Ah, Madison, you covered one, didn't you?
I was at Madison for a couple of weekly shows,
okay.
But not a Big 8
The
race.
14 one, yeah, those ones that I watched the episode. Yeah, well, it would be great to see the Big 8 series. Like Brandon said, maybe we get some of those with the All-Star Challenge. I think we might find some more cars.
I should. I mean, there's a lot of them out there. So, I mean, if drivers want to support, you know, Larry's name, which, why wouldn't you? Yeah, and especially if potentially this is Wass's last year, whatever's going to happen there, we don't really know. But is that something that you're looking forward to, just to see kind of what the Big 8 and how Friday night pans out?
I always look forward to the Big 8 race at State Park on Deachin's weekend, because you never know what that race is going to turn into. It might be a really clean green to checkers, or it might be a fight with cars. You just don't know.
Fight with cars. Right. I like that one.
Yeah.
We've seen a few of them. Big 8 has been doing it probably for the last, I'd say, 10 years now. On that Friday night program, And we've seen some real dandies. And we've seen Neil win. That was a good a win for him, you know, as he's never won the big one with the super late models. And I know he was maybe thinking, you know, Wayne wanted to get the 7-Eleven and he was going to maybe ask Neil to drive it. Well, unfortunately, that one went up in the wall for the John Brevik Classic. So talk about, you asked, well, I'm going to talk about this. You asked Wayne Brevik about your friend Dean LaPointe. You've been great friends with Dean for a long time. When the car got crashed in a ball joint, Kyle Jeanette drives it. He's a wheeler. The car hit the wall, bent it, and your friend Dean LaPointe surprised Wayne a couple weeks ago. Talk about that. I think that will be on your show coming up. Little snippet.
That was a really neat gesture because, as you mentioned, Kyle Jeanette's practicing Wayne Brevik's 7-Eleven car, and he crashes it into the wall. You mentioned a mechanical failure. Kyle's a heck of a driver.
Yeah.
But the car's trash. There's not going to be a 7-Eleven car in the John Brevik Classic, and John Brevik carried that number 7-Eleven in the three decades that he raced back in the day. So Dean LaPointe, who is back racing at Marshfield this season for the first time in a number of years, not by coincidence, attendance seems to be rising, surprises Wayne, surprised the heck out of me. He put 7-Eleven on the side of his car, so there would be a 7-Eleven car in the Brevik Classic. I thought that was a really neat gesture.
And unfortunately, it wound up in the wall later that night. But talk about Dean LaPointe, what kind of a guy he is. You've gone to snowmobile racing with him, and you stayed at his house. He's a real good friend of yours.
Dean and I have been friends for a lot of years. I have a lot of respect for how he races, and we've just been friends for a long time. And, you know, he is one of the few drivers who's still active who raced at Marshfield when it was dirt. Him, Bill Lindner, Kenny Hutchins, there aren't too many drivers that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Who go back to the dirt days there.
Right, which is always really cool to see because, I mean, you can still see the remnants of the dirt track when you go to Marshfield today, and it kind of brings back those memories. And then getting paved in 95 for the 96 being the first full season, it's really kind of neat to kind of see that transition through kind of the times and how things have changed. But what's the what's kind of the shape of things that you've seen this year? You think asphalt's hanging steady where they are? Do you think we're going up, going down? Is dirt coming back? Or what have you seen from your travels?
Well, I haven't seen a dirt race this year, not by choice.
Wow.
But after I relocated to rural Adams County, I don't have a dirt track anywhere near me.
Yeah.
And logistically, for what I'm doing on Racing Roundup, and Jim would be fine with me covering dirt, but I've got asphalt tracks less than an hour from me,
right,
and I've got a long haul to any of these dirt late model specials. You mentioned Dirt Kings earlier in the program.
Yeah, to Anago this week.
I love the Dirt Kings tour.
I know you do.
Jason and Sandy Schultz, I think, do a super job with that series. It just logistically hasn't worked out for me to get to many of them, and that's one of my regrets. But you know, in terms of what I'm seeing, I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm concerned about car count,
right,
and I'm concerned about cost. And I don't have the answer.
No one does.
But I think both of those have got to be addressed by somebody who's got enough clout in this sport to make a difference. How that's done and who that's done by, sorry, I don't have the answer for that.
That's a great answer. Yeah. Bill, what did you think about Brad Miller when you got home from Slinger, that he won the Slinger Nationals? You're probably thinking, oh boy, this guy is going to be partying for weeks.
I hate DQs more than anybody in racing, with the possible exception of the driver who got DQ'd.
Because you had to go back and interview him, right?
Well, I just hate him in general. I'm a big believer that the fan who spends his or her money to watch the race shouldn't find out who won the race the next day, whether it's on the internet or in the newspaper or whatever. That being said, if you don't have tech, you've got the Wild West show on wheels.
Right.
And
free for all.
You know, I've talked to different people. I ran into Andrew Morrissey at La Crosse. We talked
a little
too.
Bit.
I've talked to different drivers who've won a lot of stuff in super late model racing, and I'm amazed at how diverse the opinions are on that Slinger situation.
Yeah. Bill, we'll bring you back for just a little bit. We're going to pay some bills. You're listening to Trackside Live on Blue Jay 96.3. Grill on Blue Jay 96.3 in Trackside Live, our 13th year on the airwaves for Sunrise Broadcasting. Got Bill Holland joining us again. Bill, we were talking Slinger, and we had to pay some bills, and I got race coming up. What were we getting at? Do you remember? I got short-term memory issues.
Yeah, we were talking about the disqualification of Andrew Morrissey that gave the win to Brad Miller, who ran second, and it's a tough situation for both guys. I mean, that decision costs Andrew Morrissey $20,000. And
maybe some more with lap sponsors, too.
And, you know, it's tough because he built that car. He didn't buy a car from one of the big-name race car builders. He built that car himself. And it's a tough deal. And it's difficult for Brad, too, because you've got a guy who went from 14th to 2nd in the second half of the race, but you have people saying, well, you didn't really win. Nobody wins in this.
And how many times? Second, six times you said it was?
I'm not sure how many times.
I don't think Brad Miller wanted to win that way.
Oh, I
can guarantee you. I know Brad Miller.
I don't think anybody wants to win that way. And I feel bad for Todd Thielen. He's got a great event at Slinger Speedway. You hear people praise him for how he treats people and how he promotes that racetrack.
Yeah, he's got everything organized. Lynn does a great job at marketing people. It's a good run program.
He doesn't want this.
No.
So it's not good for anyone, really.
No. Bill, thanks for your insight. We can listen to you out on the Facebook or watch tomorrow. Where are you going to be and what station we can find you?
Racing Roundup airs live on Facebook.
Yep.
And YouTube. On YouTube.
Yep. So they can do that, and that show is about 6 to 7:30, right?
I believe it's 6 to 8.
6 to 8. Oh, yeah, maybe all the fun and games. So how about a nice hand for Bill Holland? Bill, and we'll see you this weekend. Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you.
All right, we'll bring our next guest. He is sponsored by the Aftershock Bar and Grill, and he's third-generation racer. His dad has won this event in 1998. They called him the King of Speed. Well, we could call him the Prince of Speed because I don't know where the heck he found this groove. And Race Hayes, you're here tonight. Race, thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy week. You apologize, Mr. Key. You were never on a list, right, for that race?
Yeah, I don't know how I got put on there. I don't remember signing up for it, but I very well could have been in the season.
Well, it depends, you know. What, maybe you had too much fun that night and you registered or something.
I could see that, yeah.
But busy week coming up. Your dad's won it. Mark lives down the road from you. Margo's your neighbor. We're family and friends. Aftershock Bar and Grill sponsored both of you. So that's a kind of cool thing. A neighborhood bar. And sometimes you maybe could drive your car here. That would be fun to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting. I don't know how the neighbors would like it.
Well, the neighbors probably wouldn't like it. But you've been racing. Started off in four cylinders. Did you do go-karts?
Yeah, I raced at Ringle Brickyard.
Okay.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
You never did the ice racing like your nephew, right? You didn't do any of that?
No. Nope, never on the ice.
So then it went, you were involved with racing with Dad, and you wanted to race, and you started, Saturn, wasn't it? Was it up at Tomahawk first? You went dirt racing? I can't remember how it went.
Yeah, I built a Saturn for the Enduro race, and then it made it through it, so we're like, well, we might as well race it until we wreck it or get something else. So then we ran Tomahawk for a while, and then ran State Park for a little while,
and then
built that Neon.
The Neon, and then after the Neon, you went from front-wheel drive car to the late model. Your dad was ready, hanging it up. He's had a good career. Won a lot of different places, and he gave you the opportunity to do it. How scared were you?
I don't know. It wasn't too bad, really. They drive a little better. They're just kind of meant for it. Those front-wheel drive cars kind of a little tough to drive.
That
sometimes.
Wasn't much fun. Yeah. But one thing is kind of like Mark's dad said, hey, it's yours. You're going racing. And that was a great opportunity for you. And you're still looking for finding that first feature. You were so close. Talk about your season so far. It seems like it's been kind of ups and downs, but it's looking really good in the window right now.
Yeah, we've anytime we finished, I think the worst we did was just down in the Dells. That's a pretty tough crowd down there. We finished like ninth, and then we broke once, and a couple of seconds at Wausau and broke once there. So up and down, but overall we've had good speed kind of everywhere we went. So
yeah, at the Dells, these times, you've been doing the Alive for Five, and talk about that. You see all these big teams, all these different guys. Your operation is just a couple dudes, right? You, your dad, and some friends. And
usually there's three, four of us down
it's
there.
It's pretty stressful because your dad's more laid back at Wausau until the spotter stand.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It's all good. Jesse's looking at me. I've known him forever. But to kind of talk about running with those guys, and they're going to be coming to State Park Speedway, so it's not too terrifying. Would you say?
No, I don't. I'm not really worried about anyone coming to Wausau. I think all the guys that we run with weekly are going to be the fast guys to try to beat. I mean, a lot of those guys will be quick as well, but I don't think anyone faster than Brock or Mondike or any of those guys now. But I like racing down at the Dells. It's really racy, but it feels like you're qualifying for 100 laps. You're just wide open,
constantly going.
Yeah, you're just after it the whole time.
So we talked a little bit about your outside presence this year. Has that been a conscious effort on making sure to get the outside to work, or has it just worked the way that your car kind of it has been set up that you found that groove and it's been working for you?
Yeah, I don't know. I get so sick of just trying to get underneath these guys all the time. It's just so tough to get underneath them, and then you feel like you almost got to move them, then you move them, and then everyone's upset, and it's like, well, try something else, and it works pretty good for me. I think as long as you can just hang with them down at 1 and 2, you can pass them down at 3 and 4.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it seemed to work for you, and it's been excellent. You know, it's been the tires. We talked a little bit with Tucker kind of about the tires. Was his stance kind of what you've been seeing too? They're repeating pretty well, and is that helping maybe you stay on the outside longer versus like probably would have burned up your 35-45s in 10 laps up there, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I really haven't noticed a whole lot, but I do think that they just last. You know, you can just stay after it, and they don't really seem to just fall right off like the other ones.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've seen. And even last year, I think Chris Wimmer got in Johnny D's car, and he goes, holy cow. He, you know, raced in there for a long time, and his family owns it. He's like, it was so rough. I needed a mouth guard. It's pretty rough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, I don't know.
But then when you go to a different place, you're like, whoa, you're not bouncing. You probably got to go to the bathroom before you race 60 to 100 laps. So,
yeah,
it's always fun, especially being home. And, you know, you've had opportunities. And, you know, every year you're like, hey, we're going to travel more. But knowing that it's in your backyard, the place means a lot with your grandpa. Going there, and now we just found out you are expecting to be a father, so that's got to be an exciting part in your life.
Yeah, that'll be pretty interesting. So, yeah, I wish you could stick around and have another generation there, but we'll see.
We'll never know.
Might still be there.
You never know. You got some sponsors. Who do you want to thank? I know a lot of good people, a lot of family, friends. I kind of wanted to say something tonight. Joanne, who is a friend of ours, Corey Ambrosiak, was a great help with the someone a part of your life, and he passed away last night. So pretty upsetting thing to see, and I sent Joanne and told her everything. So I know he was a young man, 30 years old, with pancreatic cancer. It's a tough deal. And there's some of the sponsors on your car. You kind of hit those sponsors, Race.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Keith from ANA Lock Service. He's always been a big supporter of mine, and Titan Dirt Works, Ted Steel and Scrap, Omni Glass, Razor Rocks and Sand, Aftershock Bar and Grill, thanks for having us again. They're always
I can't wait for New Year's Day again.
Yeah.
Bingo. You know, Mark called that year, and Mark was calling all these old racers' number, and some of those old ladies are like, tell them to shut up. I don't care about that Jim Bach of 061, right?
Yeah.
We've had so much fun at that event. And don't let Snappy Joe, we don't have to worry about that, but That's another entertaining venue. So
yeah, it's a good time. A good time. Hopefully everyone will come out again.
Yeah,
I like it.
Other sponsors?
Yeah, I got Hilltop, Jeffy, Badgerland Overhead Door, PGA, and Downtown Nails.
Very good. And looking like, if you think, let's play kind of a fun game of DraftKings for a second. So coming into Saturday, Ty Majeski is obviously the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
He's, let's say, $10,000. Where's your odds for Saturday? How do you feel about your car?
I feel pretty good. I wish I would have played out a little different last week. I felt like we had a pretty good car. Just that last restart, I couldn't get back in my rhythm. So I think it'll be good for us Saturday. I like the longer races. I wish it was 200. Honestly, I like the long ones. I get comfortable, and then I can just get in a groove and keep going.
I think Mark would be okay with 200. You didn't shake your head. I mean, your car is pretty consistent on those runs, and you know, I think you, like you said, if you probably had 10 more laps one night and whatnot. But yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. You look forward to it. It's great to see it's going to be packed. Isn't it going to be exciting?
It's going to be crazy. Well,
Let's say this. When you're coming to the Wave Lap for the Larry Dietrich Memorial, seeing the place that packed, I know you're focused, but what's that feeling like as a racer? I bet you it's hard to explain, isn't it?
Yeah, I got a lot of nerves, and then I'm always so nervous, but then as soon as we go green, it all just goes away until we have a caution again, so...
Good, back to work. Right?
Yeah.
It's always
funny.
Drivers will get introduced and they go behind that deck and you have to use the porta potty. And then it's kind of like, who's going to out cheer the Summers or who's going to out cheer the Fenhouse? It's always fun. And to hear your fans cheer for you when they introduce you out of car. I think last year I didn't get to watch it, but it's so neat to listen to that the crowd erupt. I know it kind of gives a person goosebumps, and I think it's no different when you maybe be able to get a victory on Saturday night. So, hey, Race, best of luck. Thanks for bringing the car here.
Yeah.
Again,
you
can watch Race Saturday. If not, you can't make it, you can listen to us. We'll be on Central Wisconsin's Racing Station. Again, our next show is going to be at Charlie's Bar over in on Double N.
Well, on N, yeah.
Merton.
Technically Marathon, yeah.
Brandon, you're looking forward to it this weekend?
Yes, I'm very excited for the Deachins weekend.
You get any vacation?
Yes, on Friday.
Friday, so.
You're getting the go, Simon.
I know we're getting the go. We've got the storm that took us up, but that's all right. Again, we want to thank Rick and Sharon here at the Aftershock Bar and Grill. You've been listening to Trackside Live on Blue Jay 96.3.
You've been listening to the Trackside Results Show on Blue Jay 96.3. The Trackside Results Show has been brought to you by A&A Lock Service, your key authority, Central Wisconsin Vending, Hilltop Auto Wrecking, Central Sawdust of Wisconsin, Zilich Asphalt, the Monster Truck Nitro Tour, Zilich Customs High and Low Auto Show, and State Park Speedway. See the list of Trackside Results show dates and locations at BlueJay963.com and listen for the Trackside Results Show on BlueJay963, AM 730, and streaming on the WJMT app and Alexa.